Does your highly sensitive child hate when you tell them no? If that's you, today's episode is going to be a game changer. I'm going to share three things you can do to help your child tolerate hearing no without going 0 to 60 every single time. Let's get into it. Parenting is the hardest job ever, and parenting a highly sensitive child who's struggling can feel downright impossible. If you're suffering through endless meltdowns, walking on eggshells, and losing sleep worrying, you've landed in the right place. Because I'm here to help you feel good about parenting your highly sensitive child. I'm Dr. Hillary, clinical psychologist and mom of three, and you're listening to the Raised Resilient podcast, where I help you make sense of your child's challenging behaviors and build resilience in the face of their big emotions. So warm up your coffee and grab your earbuds. It's time to turn your child's sensitivity into their superpower. Hey, friend, welcome back to Raised Resilient. I'm your host, Dr. Hillary, and I am so glad you're here. I get a lot of emails and DMs on Instagram with parents telling me, my child cannot hear no. Why does my child completely lose it when I say no to something, when I set a limit? And how can I get this to stop? This behavior is so common in highly sensitive kids, and it's yet another way that kids who feel their feelings deeply and intensely attempt to avoid discomfort. Dealing with disappointment is hard. It's hard for adults. And so for kids, especially kids who feel their feelings intensely, they're gonna try to control the situation and avoid disappointment if they can. So I know it's frustrating when your child is struggling to hear no, but just trust that this is an adaptive attempt to avoid discomfort that they don't feel confident they can handle. And so your long game here really needs to be focused on helping your child build the skills they need in order to tolerate uncomfortable feelings, including disappointment. And here's the thing, that cannot happen in the heat of the moment. That cannot happen when you tell your child no and they push back. Because in those moments, your child is emotionally activated. They do not have access to their logical reasoning abilities, to their language abilities, at least not to the extent that they do when they are more emotionally regulated. So in the heat of the moment, we cannot teach new skills. The way that we help a child learn to tolerate hearing no really doesn't happen in the moment, although there are some things we do need to do in the moment and some things that can help. If you're really struggling with this, right? If you feel like you cannot tell your child no ever without sending your entire family and your entire day into a downward spiral, let's talk about how I can help you get out of this cycle, because this does not have to stay your reality. Go to raisedresilient.com/breakthrough, book a free call with me, and let's talk about what's going on and how I can help your family break free from this cycle and stop feeling like you have to walk on eggshells and not set the limits that you actually need to be setting just so that you don't set off your highly sensitive child, because that is truly no way for your family to live, and you do not need to stay stuck here. I promise you that. Okay, so how do we help a child who really struggles to hear no? So the first thing that I want you to do is to stop walking on eggshells. Now, I know why you're doing it, and I know you feel like you don't have another choice. But here's the thing. If your child learns that you give up and give in half the time because you're just exhausted, and listen, I get it. I really get it. I know how exhausting it can be. My oldest is a pro negotiator. Like, we joke that he's going to be a lawyer someday. So I really understand. But if you give up and give in half the time, your child learns that sometimes protesting and pushing back is going to lead to you moving the line in the sand. And as much as your child wants to avoid disappointment and the discomfort of feeling disappointed, it also feels unsafe for the leader, the caregiver, the person in charge, to be moving the line based on their whims. And so as much as your child might not want you to say no, your child needs you to say no. Or at least your child needs for your no to mean no. So that doesn't mean you need to say no all the time, but when you do set a limit that this is it, we're not doing any more screens today, for example, that you mean it and that you follow through. So that's the first step to help a child who is struggling to hear no, is that we've got to have our no mean no. We've got to be consistent, and we've got to make sure that we follow through by setting actual boundaries, right? And remember from my episode on boundaries that a boundary is not you asking your child repeatedly to turn off the TV. Okay, in that example, you're making a request when you ask your child to turn off the TV. Turn off the TV. I said turn off the TV. The boundary there is, oh, I see this is tricky for you. I really get it. I'm going to help you by turning off the TV myself. And then you put the remote out of sight, out of mind, so that you don't end up in a power struggle where your child is grabbing the remote, turning the TV back on, and then you're grabbing it and turning it back off. Remember that a boundary is something that you do, or you no longer do, or no longer willing to do. It's something you're in control of. If a boundary is something that you're asking someone else to do, it's not actually a boundary. It is a request you're making of the other person. So we have to stop walking on eggshells. We have to start setting consistent, healthy boundaries with our kids, especially if you have a child who struggles to hear no. The second thing that is really, really key for kids who struggle to tolerate disappointment is to validate their disappointment without using the word but. Okay, so that sounds like this. I know you were having so much fun playing Minecraft, you really didn't want to turn off the TV. That doesn't sound like, I know you were having so much fun playing Minecraft, but it's time to turn it off. It's time for dinner. I told you. I like to call this bottomless empathy. So you are just empathizing endlessly with their struggle, but you're not moving the boundary and you're not trying to convince them to agree with you. Because again, that's invalidating their feeling. I know I've been talking a lot about this concept in previous episodes, but it's really important. We don't want to invalidate what they are feeling. Okay. It's really, really, really important to actually hold space for the feeling without trying to convince them why they really shouldn't feel that way in the first place. So consistent boundaries and stopping walking on eggshells and bottomless empathy for the feelings that come when you do hold that boundary. And look, I would not expect this to go perfectly or even well at first. I would prepare for it to be messy. I would prepare for your child to continue to push back. Because again, if that pushback led to you saying, never mind, forget it, just do whatever you want in some cases, even if you didn't literally say that, but if you ultimately said, okay, fine, five more minutes of TV, then I would expect pushback. I would expect that your child is going to try to negotiate with you. And this is where boundaries and empathy are going to be even more important. So those are the first two things that are necessary for a child that is struggling with hearing no. And then the third thing that can be helpful for a child who is struggling to hear no is to, as often as possible, either turn your no into a yes or offer a structured choice. So here's how that might look with the TV or the screen time example that we've been using throughout this episode. So let's say that it's time to turn off the TV. You've given your child warnings, you've let them know it's coming, and you say, all right, screen time's over. And your child says, no, I want to keep playing. And this is where you might say something like, I know you really want to keep playing. You are having so much fun. Do you want to turn the TV off yourself or do you want me to do it? So in that case, you're giving your child just a little bit of agency. You're giving two choices that are both totally okay. They're both going to lead to the outcome that you need to have happen, but you're helping your child feel a little more control and predictability to the situation, which can be really helpful when we're trying to avoid discomfort. So that's how you would offer a structured choice. Now, how would you turn your no into a yes? Let's say that your child is asking you for screen time. This is something I am well versed in because my kids are tracked out from year-round school. And so every day, my boys want to know when they can have screen time. And so for the most part, it's consistent, but there are some days where I need to shift the timing a little bit to coincide with my work schedule. So my oldest will come to me at like 9 o'clock in the morning and say, can we have screens? And instead of saying no or defaulting to not right now, what I say now is, yep, you can have screens today at 1 p.m. Now, I just want to point out, this was not immediately helpful for my child, okay? At first, this led to a lot of, but why do we have to wait until 1? Can we do it at 12:30? What about 12:15? Or why not right now? Because nothing's happening right now and it would be a perfect time. So this is where you go back to the first two things that I mentioned today as ways to support your child who struggles to hear no. Stop walking on eggshells and hold the boundary and give bottomless empathy. So after doing that consistently, we're a week into track out and we're not having screen time battles, which is amazing. And again, there's a lot that I do outside of the moment with my kids to help them build their tolerance for tolerating the disappointment around hearing no. And that process is way more involved than what I have time and space to get into here on a podcast episode. But just know that coupled with these three things, I am working outside the moment on building their tolerance for disappointment. And that's really, really, really important. So we can do all of these other things, but if we have a highly sensitive child who is really struggling, it's important that we do work outside of the moment as well as inside of the moment, because that is really where we're going to get the most bang for our buck, so to speak. So that is how you help a child who is struggling to hear no. And just remember, it is a very typical, expected way that a highly sensitive child's avoidance of discomfort manifests, okay? This is just another way of trying to control the situation and avoid feeling big feelings. And once you understand that, I think you will be able to also access more empathy for your child in these moments, because it's not just like your child being defiant and pushing back on you. Your child is actually trying to get a need met, a really important need. So I hope this episode has been helpful. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you in the next episode. Want to continue the conversation and connect with other parents who get it? Join our free Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/raised resilient. I can't wait to see you in there. And if you loved today's episode, I'd be so honored if you'd share it with a friend who needs it. Thanks for listening. And until next time, we've got this.